1 Corinthians 12. You know what?
What?
Go to Genesis 32.
That was pretty funny.
Genesis
2
or
12? 32, I
back
think.
To the beginning.
Many of you have already, we've already talked about this many times, but believe it or not, I've been working on the last word, the third different subject, but something happened to me within those first few months that I was a believer, and, you know, I struggled to try to find an explanation. And when I read Genesis 32, it explained to me the experience that I had had, and it explains why, you know, I've screwed up a million times, but from that standpoint, I could never again rely on me. Remember Jesus, the people asked, what must we do to do the works of God? And his simple answer was, believe on him who he has sent. But our problem with the word believe in English is that we have too many ways of believing. I mean, I believe I'm sitting in a chair. I believe Gary's here. I believe the light's on. You know, I believe Kevin is an asshole. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. It just.
Yeah. It'll come out. Kevin is an angel of light.
Yeah. But.
Different voice.
That's what Harry used to do. When he first started taping. He'd just separate a whole bunch of different words so he could make me say anything he wanted to. And he always made... Right.
So much easier now electronically.
Yeah, and so Harry, always in the tapes, Harry was always the hero of the tape. He was always the one that came up with the brilliant execution.
Those are the ones I'm putting up on the web.
Yeah. Anyway, but the word believe in Greek is a totally different concept. It's pistis, or something like that, if I could speak Greek. But it means this. It means total and complete reliance on God and absolutely no reliance on you or your abilities or your talents or your whatever you have confidence in or the world. It's a totality kind of word. And so when we ask the question like, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's big of you. You know, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Sure, yeah. But those words aren't anywhere in the Bible. It says to them, he is the light that lighteth all men, and to them that received him, he gave the ability to become the sons of God. All men received him at Pentecost. He is the sperm of God that is within every man. And to receive him isn't your option. All men have received him. The question is, he cannot be revealed except in your emptiness, your failure, your total and complete you gone. And that he is revealed. He isn't just revealed as a seed. This is the mystery, the great mystery of God. It says, It says we have been adopted. The word adopted is huiothesios. It means the placing of the fullness of the Son within you. We are the temple, not for the seed. We are not the temple for the baby Jesus. We are not the temple for anything but His resurrection. Now, how can that be? Because my mind is always getting in the way. I make all these judgments and conditions and things and opinions and... Well, it's explained. It was explained to me because I had the experience. I knew it, but I didn't know it in the Bible. So it was invalid. There's nothing that I could find out or experience that isn't verified in the Bible. If it isn't verified in the Bible, it's not true. That's the reason for the Bible, to verify what you already know. If you know something that it isn't in the Bible, then you're an idiot. Now this is the problem that Jacob had, and this is the revelation of the experience of Jacob. The word Jacob, he was named Jacob because, if you read just the surface, it's because he supplanted Esau. He tricked Esau. But he was the word Jacob in Hebrew means the way of the snake. Do you understand that? And he was so ashamed of his name that he didn't use it for over 20 years. He always said, I am the son of... He never said, I am Jacob.
What was his father thinking when he named him?
Well, what was the Methuselah's father when he named... The word Methuselah means, when I die, the end comes. So let's look. And I'll let you read the first part of Genesis 32 for your own self. But in verse 24, Jacob was alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Excuse me. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. That was Jacob said. I mean, the angel said that. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Now for the first time, Jacob says who he was. My name is Jacob. What he's saying is, my name is Antichrist. My name is the way of the snake. My name is the evil one. I mean, this is huge. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. No more the way of the snake. But Israel. No. You can get in all kinds of arguments with... Is it etymologists that study words? And Bible scholars. To me, there's no doubt. As I search the meaning of these words. Ish is she... Ra is sea. El is God. Ish-ra-el. She who sees God. From the beginning in Genesis, you cannot see God and live. Jacob could not live because he saw God. You got it? You cannot live and be a believer. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him. And the reason he didn't, he should have known. His name was I Am. I Am can't have any modifiers. Well, and we are the peculiar people. In the Greek, it's the verb form of the feminine, I am. We are the I am people because we are the bride. Therefore, we can have no modifiers to I am. We can't be I am young, I am old, I am black, I am white, I am Greek, I am Jew, I am male, I am female. There are no I ams. I am a businessman? No. I am. I am. That's why they called themselves people of the way. Because their emphasis was always on the way to them, and maybe really to put the name of Christ on their flesh was to take the name of the Lord in vain. So now watch, this is the part that's real important. The other part, what I just said, wasn't important. No. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel, the face of God, because he saw the face of God and died. And he was resurrected as Israel, the bride, she who sees God. For I've seen God face to face, and well, that's what it says, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, etc., etc. Now, this is what blew me absolutely away, because I had loved the study of the human body, and, well, I dubbed that too, but the study of the anatomy of the body and the organs and stuff when I was in school. And there are, when I was in school, there were 26 vestigial organs that proved that evolution was true. Right? There was the nictitating membrane in your eye, there were fingernails, there was hair. But the most important of all are the appendix, was this penile. In the human body, it was called the penile body because it was allegedly dead. It was inactive. It didn't produce anything. Why would anatomists call this little thing, it's in the exact center of your brain, it's right between the two lobes, it's shaped like a cone, or about the size of a pea, and its name is the face of God. In other animals, it's not a body, it's a gland. And it's the thing that causes the geese to fly from Canada to South Texas. It's the thing that provides what's called instinct. Now, this experience I had when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, the essence of it was that I could never again rely on myself. I could never again rely on my senses. I knew that from the beginning. But I couldn't understand, well, then how am I going to be led of God? And I am convinced that when a man or a woman is born again, it activates that pineal body. But then you have to cooperate with it, because you have to abandon self. You have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, so that you're no longer led by all of those neurons and nerve paths that have messed up and confused your life from the beginning of time. Now you are led by this one place, the face of God, the pineal gland. But in order for that to happen, you can't rely ever again on those things that you have had confidence in. You must bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that you must always confront every situation you're in with it's finished. My warfare is over. My only thing that I do is rely 100% on the Father. Now, this is why this is so important right now, because we're studying the gifts of the Spirit. How that Spirit of God, through that, I believe, that face of God, it didn't matter whether you believe in it, I don't care about that, but I'm just telling you a possible mechanics of why and why this thing is in here. Why he called the face, the place Peniel, because he had seen the face of God. You can't see the face of God and live. You can't, in my opinion, become a believer and live. But in doing so, you have to understand the mechanics, the physiology of what happens in your brain. If you don't abandon yourself, then the face of God doesn't act. It just puts the name of God on all your other nerve paths. By abandoning yourself, taking no thought for your life, taking no thought for tomorrow, taking no thought for what you're going to eat, taking no thought for what you're going to wear, etc., 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 then the light that is in you becomes brighter. Now, every sacrifice on the altar was had to have every living sacrifice had. I mean, every what am I trying to say? Animal sacrifice had to have salt put on it. What is salt? Well, I preserve. No, salt is the component of eternity, and that Peniel body is the salt. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the earth. And we can never again rely on the nerve paths that have controlled us for all of our lives. Can you understand now why I despise your ideas? Can you understand why I hate your worry, your concern, your judgments? They're meaningless. You must be led from the same place that Israel is. And every place I look in the Scriptures, this truth is manifest. And the gifts of the Spirit are there in 100% reliance on God, no reliance on you. The gifts of the Spirit aren't going to operate originating from Him. They're going to operate, but they're given without repentance, so you can fake them. Now, I've said a lot. Does anybody have any response? John? Does this make sense to you?
I beg your pardon?
Did you see this?
Yes, I do. I appreciate it. It's your head.
Reminds me of the thing about learning to fly. All pilots know that you fly into a cloud or fog or something like that, the last thing you do is rely on your senses, because you'll crash. You have to follow the instruments, because your senses will lie to you.
So,
Moses, being up there with God, he had to be in an incredible place of abandonment in the face of God giving the Ten Commandments or whatever, and his face shone when he came out. That when you talked about the light that's in you comes out when you're in the panic.
Kevin? You understand? No questions.
It sounds like an episode of X-Files.
Yes. It does. It is.
That's why X-Files are so popular.
Let's go to John. Big John.
Mm-hmm.
in that what we just read, the moment you rely on your mind, on your senses, then Jacob, the way of the snake, the Antichrist, is resurrected from the deadly head wound. And he'll let you go and pursue your idiotic ideas and your stupid plans and your all your little deals. But they have to end in nothingness, death. And that's the grace of God. But it's because if you continue to follow after these ideas, your senses, your brain, your hope, you're without hope. But it takes some, many, many, many years to stop giving importance, or to give importance means to worship your own ideas. Right?
I'm stuck in my idea of anything.
You're going to die, Jim. In the beginning was the Word. Big John, 1:1. Just hear this now with what I just said. You've read it a million times, I've heard it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness is your brain. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, rely, quit thinking on, quit worshiping their own ideas and thoughts and depend only on him. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, which is all men, and his own received him not, didn't make a place for him. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power, the ability to become the sons of God, even to them that believe or rely on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is why that ancient prayer that John found is so important. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee, I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Everybody understand perfectly?
Take heed, there's a new light shining in the dark place till the day dawn, the day star appear in your hearts.
Remember, the gospel is Christ. He is the subject of it. He is the object of it. And he is the life of it. There's a new Word Faith guy on TBN that's a young
prophet, bishop. If I need your help.
We're all in trouble.
He's a young Kenneth Copeland. And what he's saying is this whole thing about how that your words and your thought create your future. It is the exact opposite of the gospel. It's the gospel of Babylon. This is how you do it. And this is the result. Cause and effect. The God of Babylon. Our job is to call the people out of Babylon. J.W. told me that 30 years ago. That was going to be my job. To call the people out of Babylon. Who are living in the world of cause and effect. Make a vow of faith, get the goodies. Pray right, get healed. Hold your mouth right, you'll have nice kids. And these are the rules. 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, and 6 will happen. It's the great enemy, the perfect enemy of grace and mercy. Because the fit or the strong can do the rules, do the cause and effect. That's why the gospel is always for the unfit and the weak and the poor and the empty. Amen? What? Ken's got a weird look in his face.
I keep getting hung with the reap what you sow.
The what?
You reap what you sow.
If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean a life that's going to last a long time. It means you're going to live in eternity now. You'll live life as if there's no time. You'll speak life as if there's no time. You'll see life as if there's no time. And that's what God wants. Well, that's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus. Now maybe we are ready to study the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Forget everything you've heard about the gifts of the Spirit before we start. All right? This is John's fault. We were going to go on to like Corinthians. I mean, yeah, no, the book of Revelation or something. It wasn't for Bojo. Take it, big guy.